Before we read the scriptures tonight, I would ask that you take your Psalter in hand, turn to the back section, the Belgic Confession, page 43, and I'd like to read together with you Articles 17 and 18 of the Belgic Confession of Faith. The earliest of our Reformed creeds, written in 1561, as a testimony to the faith of the gospel that we believe. Page 43, Article 17 of the Recovery of Fallen Man. We believe that our most gracious God, in his admirable wisdom and goodness, seeing that man had thus thrown himself into temporal and eternal death, and made himself wholly miserable, was pleased to seek and comfort him when he trembling fled from his presence, promising him that he would give him his son, who should be made of a woman, to bruise the head of the serpent and would make him happy. Article 18 of the Incarnation of Jesus Christ. We confess, therefore, that God did fulfill the promise which he made to the fathers by the mouth of his holy prophets, when he sent into the world at the time appointed by him his own only begotten and eternal Son, who took upon him the form of a servant and became like unto man, really assuming the true human nature with all its infirmities, sin excepted, being conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Ghost without the means of man, and did not only assume a human nature as to the body, but also a true human soul, that he might be a real man. For since the soul was lost as well as the body, it was necessary that he should take both upon him to save both. Therefore, we confess, in opposition to the heresy of the Anabaptists, who deny that Christ assumed human flesh of his mother, we confess that Christ is become a partaker of the flesh and blood of the children. That is, he is a fruit of the loins of David after the flesh, made of the seed of David according to the flesh, a fruit of the womb of the Virgin Mary, made of a woman, a branch of David, a shoot of the root of Jesse, sprung from the tribe of Judah, descended from the Jews according to the flesh, of the seed of Abraham, since he took on him the seed of Abraham and became like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted, so that in truth he is our Emmanuel, that is to say, God with us. Now let's read the scriptures together this evening. In the book of Hebrews, we meditate for a while this morning on the first three verses of Hebrews 1. Reading in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, the book of Hebrews is written to show us the superiority of our Lord Jesus Christ to all of the Old Testament signs and shadows. It's written to show us that because he is not a creature, but that he is God, he is therefore above all. Reading then chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, and the first three verses will serve for the text. God, who at sundry or various times and in divers or different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, that's his Son, who, being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they, that is the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? May God bless that reading to our hearts, our text, especially the first two verses. We read the first three. God, who at sundry, various times, and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's begin tonight with a question. Have you ever wanted God to speak to you, even to speak audibly to you? Have you ever been in such a position that you were desperate to hear a word straight from God? Perhaps it was a moment of anxiety, of desperation, of heavy discouragement. Have you ever said, O Lord, in this deep trouble that I bear and pain that I bear, speak to me, if only I could hear your voice. Please talk to me and do not be silent to me. It may have been when you were diagnosed with cancer and you found that it was very potentially terminal. It may have been in a moment when your little boy, your little child, his health was taken in the hospital bed and he was non-responsive. It might have been when you were a young person at a certain point in your life when you could not find any way out or any hope. It might be right now as a young person when you're thinking, what am I to do? You are so desperate to know. You're asking God, please show me somehow. It might have been, and it might be now, when there's darkness in your heart. If only God would speak to me. If only he would tell me, or if he would only let me know that he is there. Have you ever said that? I think we all have, to one time or another, to one extent or another. We know that the psalmist did, a number of the psalmists did. Psalm 28, verse 1, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." But when we would ask that question, "Lord, speak to me, assure me, help me right now, I need to hear you." When we would speak like that, then we will find that the Lord is most patient to us and most tender to us in his rebuke. Yes, rebuke, and appropriately a rebuke. For he would say to us, "I have spoken to you in my Son, in the gift of my Son, in the birth of my Son in Bethlehem. I have spoken to you. I have spoken powerfully. I have spoken infinitely. I have spoken clearly. I have spoken precious words. I have not been silent. I have spoken to you in the birth of my Son." He would say to us tonight that as we remember at this time of year the birth of his Son in Bethlehem, that this is not simply a cultural thing, but that we are pointing our faith back to the manger, to the virgin who wrapped that child, the Son of God in flesh, in swaddling clothes. And then God was not silent. God was speaking in that act. When the eternal Son took upon himself a body of flesh, when the eternity entered into time in order to be covered with our sin and our death, to take it all away. Bethlehem is the key. The birth of Emmanuel is the word of God spoken to you and to me at every moment in our life, in every situation, and in every trial. It is a marvelous word. It is a comforting word. There's no greater word that God could possibly speak than for Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem. It's the word of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It's the word of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." When God gave his Son to be born, God spoke of his eternal love, gracious love, unshakable love for me, for you, for believers in Christ. Do we hear what we hear? Do we see what we see? The Son of God was born. The Apostle Paul, I say the Apostle Paul for the book of Hebrews because the Belgic Confession in Article 5 says that the Apostle Paul wrote also this book of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews is endeavoring to show the majesty and the glory and the superiority of Jesus Christ. He's writing to Hebrews, that is, his fellow Jews according to the flesh, who had been converted. Many of them had been converted through his ministry. But now they were being tempted. They were being tempted under persecution of the world. They were being tempted by the rejection of their Jewish families. They were being tempted because of the many sufferings and setbacks because of their confession in Jesus Christ. They're being tempted to go back to their formal Judaism and to reject the gospel that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, is the Christ. And throughout the epistle, the Apostle Paul is saying, whoa, whoa, don't do that. Hold up. Don't give up that faith to which you have been called. But you must understand that Christ is the victorious Son of God. He is the enthroned God. He is Lord and Savior. You must understand that God has spoken to us in His Son. That God's word to us is that Christ, the Son of God, is the Savior. And so tonight, let's hear what God has spoken. He has spoken to us in His Son. Looking especially at the first two verses, but also tying in some of verse 3, we look at the former word that God spoke. God, in various times and different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers. The former word that God spoke. Then we look at the wonder word, or the present word tonight that God spoke. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. And then we note that that word that God has spoken to us is His last word. He will not speak again. He has spoken until that wonder when we shall see Him face to face. God has spoken to us then, according to this passage, in two phases. He spoke before Christ was born, and then He spoke through Christ's birth. The text, God at various times and in different ways has spoken long ago to the fathers by the prophets, but now He has spoken to us in His Son. In the birth of His Son. So there was a former word that God spoke. And that former word that God spoke, the apostle is referring to the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures were the first or the former word in which God spoke to us of His Son, of salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now that's very significant. It tells us that the Bible is one, not two books. That the Bible is one message of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. It is not first a book for the Jew and now for the church, the New Testament, for believers, but it is one book. And it tells us that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but now especially the Bible from Genesis to Malachi, is God's word. God, who at different times, in different ways, spake. This is God's word. God spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. The Old Testament scriptures are God's inspired word. It's part of the whole Bible, one unity of His Son, Jesus. He was not silent. God communicated. He came down in the Old Testament scriptures and in the Old Testament times to reveal Himself, to make Himself known to us. And the us is the one people of God of all ages. To us. We read, He spake to the fathers by the prophets. That's important too. He spoke to the fathers by an inspired prophet through the instrument of inspiration. You say, well, that's obvious, but think about that. Yes, there were times that it was different especially before there was a written word of God in the Old Testament, that God would speak directly to Abraham, directly to Jacob, and so on. But God in the Old Testament spoke not by writing something in the sky, but He spoke through prophets who were inspired first to speak and then to write down his words. That's the way that God is pleased to speak to you. He is pleased to speak to you through an inspired word, an inspired written word. That's how God did it in the Old Testament as well. So who am I? Who am I to tell God the best way to communicate to me? God says the best way to communicate to us is through the inspired scriptures. He spoke through prophets. And so we read in 2 Peter 1, verses 19 through 21, that we do well to take heed to that light of the Holy Scriptures, knowing this, that the Scriptures were not of a private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. And then note with me that God, in the Scriptures now, spoke formerly in a very diverse and manifold different ways. Many sundry, different, many times, different times, and in many different ways. And so as we read the Old Testament scriptures, we often marvel at the variety. God spoke the same word, ultimately grace, the grace of the coming of his Son. But God in the Old Testament spoke in history. He spoke in the lives of his people. And sometimes we say that God, even today, speaks to us in a very powerful way in the lives of his people. You say, Jacob is my favorite Old Testament character because I'm Jacob. God has it all written out there. You read about Jacob and that's my life. You say, I love Abraham. That speaks to me so much. David, all that's written, all the events of his life, God is speaking. He spoke in various ways. He spoke through the Psalms. In the Psalms, God spoke to us. He showed us. He wrote out our spiritual experiences. He plumbed the depth of our hearts in the book of Psalms. It's all there. He wrote to us in Proverbs, practically, as a father instructing us. He spoke in the Song of Solomon of the great love between Christ and the church. God spoke in the Old Testament scriptures in various ways, wonderful ways. Why did he do that? He did it that way so that we would get it. So that we would not say, well, I just don't relate to that particular example or that particular person. Through all of these ways, God spoke. Through every one of these books, he kept speaking in a way that I can understand, that I can see. And so I'm rebuked tonight. Already in my complaint that God is silent. God is not silent. Read the scriptures. Search the scriptures. And you will find in the lives of believers and in the verses of the prophets that he's talking about you. Even of your most hidden difficulties, your hidden trials, read the scriptures. God is speaking. They're tailor-made by God. The Bible is tailor-made by God for me. Do you say, there's no word of God for me? In my situation is very unique. What would they know about that in the Old Testament, what I'm going through tonight? Don't say that. For your pain, for your confusion, for your anxiety, God wrote it all out. It's all there. And what did he write? What was the former word? Well, that former word, in brief, we know was the promise What promise? The promise of his Son, who would crush the devil, destroy our sin, restore us to God's favor, bring about God's grace to us, of how God had eternally willed in himself to bring us out of the dunghill and bring us into the palace of his Son. That was true of the Old Testament. John 5, verse 39, Jesus speaking to the unbelieving Jews said to them, "Search the scriptures." That was the Old Testament. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these Old Testament scriptures are they which testify of me." The Old Testament scriptures was written to testify of Jesus. And so God testified the gospel of his grace in many different ways. He began in Genesis 3, verse 15, when he promised that he would put enmity between the woman and the serpent, and that he would bring forth a male child of the woman. Reverend Cole spoke of that, explained that to us. And then he went on to speak that that male child would come, the seed of the woman would come out of Jacob and out of Judah. And he expounded that, we call it, as the children in catechism know, we call Genesis 3:15 the mother promise. It's the first promise, but born, all the promises of God are born out of that mother promise. More and more in the Old Testament, God explains to us, he shows to us what his promise is. He makes it very clear, "I will send my Son, not a creature, but my eternal Son into the flesh to die for you." And now, the Apostle Paul says, now God has spoken again in a more beautiful way. He spoke a former word. He spoke a former word in which he was pointing toward something. He spoke that word through signs, through shadows, through sacrifices, through many different ways. He spoke that word. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by or in his Son. That is, in the giving and birth of his Son, God speaks most clearly. He speaks the word of fulfillment. He speaks the word of saying to us, "Here he is, the one I've promised to you for so long. Here he is." When I complain to God and say, I can't hear you, it is not that God is not speaking, but I am not listening. My complaint is not justified. For this text tells us that now he has spoken the wonder word, the word of fulfillment of our salvation in the birth of his Son. In the birth of his Son, God spoke the word. He fulfilled the word of his grace. He communicated to us. When the Virgin Mary brought forth her firstborn son, and this son was the Son of God that the Holy Spirit had conceived in her womb, God spoke to us. Note with me that the text does not say, in times past, God spoke in various ways by the prophets, and now, in these last days, God has spoken by the apostles. That would be true. In fact, not only is it true, but that's exactly what the second chapter says. when it says in chapter 2, verse 2, that every word spoken in the Old Testament was steadfast. And if that is the case, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which now has been spoken to us by the apostles, by those who heard Christ? The apostles whom God, verse 4 of chapter 2, he confirmed their word with signs and miracles. God did speak to us by the apostles, but he doesn't say that, although that's true, because the point that is being made is God spoke in what he did. We say an action or a deed is worth a thousand words. God communicated to us in what he did when he gave his son, his own eternal son, to bear our iniquities and to deliver us from all of our sins, to be made a ransom for us. He communicated in what he did in that birth of Jesus Christ. And the text wants to bring out how marvelous, how wonderful is that word, that we would get the marvel of it. We're told in verse 3 that Christ, the Son of God, who was born of Mary, that this Christ in his divinity is the brightness of the Father's glory. He's the expressed image, as we saw this morning. The Son, God the Son, the person of the Son, is the image of the Father. We're told that he's the one who's upholding all things by the word of his power. So the one that God gave to us in that manger is the one who shows forth the glory of God. He's the mighty Son of God. Even though he is born of Mary and now in the flesh and has those little hands of an infant, nevertheless, he is the one whose hands hold the whole world and all men. He's the victorious Son. He's the Son of the Father's strength. God did not give to us a creature, a mere creature. God did not give to us an angel. God did not raise up for us the man of the year. But God gave his own Son for us. His own divine, infinite Son. And God gave him in such a way, in all of his lowliness, that it would be unmistakable that God was giving him for us in our flesh for a purpose, that in that flesh he would bear away our death, our penalty, what hangs over us, our sin, our depravity, all the things that merit for us an eternity in hell, justly. Our sins are not the leaves that just blow away. Our sins against God deserve an eternity in hell. We are corrupt, we are fallen. But God has loved us. How much has he loved us? He gave his own Son into the flesh. Why? To just prove that he could do it? Did he just come to see what it's like to be a man? No. He came that in that flesh he might endure for you and me, for all of his elect, for his chosen, what we deserve. So that when Mary held him in her arms and the shepherds came to see him, the ear of faith, yes, Mary could see him, the shepherds could see him, but it was the ear of faith, and never had God said more than when his Son came into this world in our flesh to be covered with our sins? He never said more than at that moment. You say, I need to hear. I need to know. I need to know tonight that he's with me in my cancer. I need to know that he's with me as a single mother. I need to know because I'm alone. I don't know where to turn. I need to know because I'm depressed. I can't get out of this. Nobody understands. I need to hear from God. I need him to speak to me now. My heart is broken. I can't go on. And God says, I have. I have spoken. I'm not silent. Listen. Listen to what I have said. I have given my own Son in your place, that you will have a place with him forever in my house. I gave him over to bear your sorrow, to bear your iniquity, your death, and your sin. I gave him over for that. Romans 8, verse 20, verse 32. God says that he spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Shall he not then also freely give us all things in him? If he has done this, if he gave his Son to bear my eternity in hell, will he not also give me also all things that I need by his grace in this life? The Son in whom God speaks, the Son of Mary, and God is speaking through this to us, is the Son, we read, has been appointed heir of all things by whom he made the world. That's verse 2. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things by whom he made the world. Why does the Holy Spirit put that in there? God has spoken to us in the birth of his Son. And this Son he appointed heir of all things by whom he made the world. Why does God say that? He's just throwing that in there. God says that there because he wants us to understand that his word, when he gives us his Son, his word, he is able to fulfill. In this Son, he says to us, I'm going to wipe away your sins. I'm going to empty your grave. In this Son, I'm going to work all of your trials and troubles for eternal glory. In this Son, I'm never going to forsake you. In this Son, my grace will always be sufficient for you. In this Son, I will keep you and bring you to glory. And then we say, well, can he make good on all of those promises? Can he do that? Listen, this is the Son whom God has appointed heir of all things by whom he made the worlds. He is able to keep these promises. He is able. Says to us that the Son that is given to us, the Son of God, that all things are at his disposal, that he has all power. It says that he made the world and controls the world, all the world, the land, the wind, the oceans, the buildings, the nations, the men, the military might, the bacteria, the viruses, the cancer, the demons, the angels, the men who do things to us. He controls it all. He is the eternal Son of God. Therefore, his promises are sure. His promises are dependable. And therefore, if in his Son, God says, there's nothing that can ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, then don't say, well, I don't know about that. I think I found the thing that is able to separate me from Christ. Don't say that. Because the Son that God gave to us is Lord of all. And therefore, God can say, all things work together for your good. He can say, there's coming a day that there will be no more crying and no more sorrow and no more pain. There's coming a day when we shall be delivered into eternal glory. And today, I will give you my grace. Nothing will take you from me. God can say that because that word is sure. Because of the Son that God gave to us. There was a former word. There is now the wonder word, the birth of Christ. And this is the last word. Hath in these, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. That is the last word. Does not only mean that now the scriptures, the New Testament and Old Testament scriptures are finished, that's the word of God, but it means that after the birth of Christ, followed by his death, his resurrection and ascension, God will perform no more acts until his Son appears at the end. In this last day, God says, I have spoken. There will be no act on my part, no great event. There was a great event, the birth of Christ. There will be no more great event. I've spoken until he comes again at the end of the world. The word that I have spoken is sufficient for these last days. There's not another word that will be spoken. These last days, there are days. Right now, we are in the last days. The last days are all the days after Pentecost until Jesus returns at the end of the world. The last days are the days when the church is being gathered. The last days is when God in his sovereign wisdom is trying our faith and building our faith. The last days are days of spiritual warfare against this world, against sin, against the Antichrist. In those last days, God has spoken a word that is decisive, that is completely adequate. God has given his Son to be born, to die, and to rise again, and to be at his throne. God has spoken, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Do you hear him? God speaks. Yes, he speaks to the scriptures, but he speaks in the fact that God's Son has been born, died, rose, and ascended. He has spoken. Do you hear him? Do you hear him at this time of the year as we contemplate the real birth of Christ? Amidst all the stress of this world, all the things that the world is talking about, and under all the busyness and all the stress, do we skim through the scriptures? Do we take just a little taste of the scriptures? Or do we read and listen carefully to the scriptures? Listen. God has spoken. He rebukes me when I say, I need something more. he rebukes me. God has spoken in his Son. A virgin and her son that she gave birth to from her flesh, a real man, and yet more than a real man, eternal God of God, to take my misery, my sin, my death, to purchase me that I might belong to him forever. Do you hear what God is speaking to you? Not just at this time of the year, but do you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's the word that God speaks to our hearts. That word is perfect. That word keeps me. That word will preserve me. And so tonight, we contemplate what God has done. And we say to God, as we come in faith to Bethlehem, we say to him, never, never did God speak so clearly to me as when his son was born in Bethlehem. May you hear it in your heart. Amen. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the Holy Scriptures. We pray, O Lord, that they may abide in our hearts and that we may turn to them time after time. We pray that as we contemplate the truth, that the eternal entered time, the infinite, was born of a virgin, God of God, man of man, for the purpose of redeeming us. We pray that we may truly hear what is being said. Thou art our God. Thou art our Savior. Thou hast loved us. All things are in thy hand. We may trust alone in thee. In Jesus' name, amen.